Welcome to This Mother Means Business, a podcast for ambitious entrepreneurial mothers unapologetic in their desire to have it all. I'm your host, Laura Sinclair. I'm a serial entrepreneur, marketing expert, business mentor, and mom of two, obsessed with real conversation and deep connection around the insane journey that is raising babies and building businesses. Each week, I'll bring you incredible guests and solo episodes while refusing to shy away from the harsh truths and challenges that come along with managing the titles of mom and CEO. But don't worry, we will celebrate the big moments too. I'm here to show you what's possible in your life and business, and will bring you actual tools, tricks, and stories that will take you from where you are now to where you want to go in your life, in your business, and in your parenting journey. I want nothing more than to see you win, and will always have your back in this process, even if it comes with just a little bit of tough love. Ready for today's episode? Grab your favorite drink and let's dive in. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of This Mother Means Business. Today, I want to talk to you about digital offers and the online space. I am coming up on 3 years of officially running an online-only business, and I have learned a lot over that time. And so today, what I am endeavoring to do on this episode is to give you some insight into creating digital offers, the things that I have learned, the mistakes that I have made, so that if you're deciding that you want to introduce courses or webinars or masterminds or whatever it may be into your world, into your business, whether you already have an online business or you have a brick and mortar business and you're looking for something that you want to add on, this is the episode for you. And so I want to start off by just laying the land for you in terms of what the online space has been like, what it's been like for me over the last 3 years being part of it. And I want you to know that, gosh, the online space is confusing. I remember coming in to when I first started my online business, and I'll be honest, there's a lot of things that I didn't know, even having a 10 years of corporate marketing, having run a small business for 5 years at that point, there were still a lot of things that I didn't know about the online space, but I honestly fell for everything. I fell for almost every trick, psychology, I don't want to use the word scam, but sort of like grifter type marketing that happens in the online space. And I think that for whatever reason, the online space, and by that I mean like Instagram, TikTok, social media in general, if you're building your business on there, are really wonderful at making you feel like you're an idiot. And I, even though I had worked in PR, I have a corporate marketing background, I'd run digital media for some of the biggest brands in the world, when I first started building my Instagram business, I was convinced that these coaches really just had like one secret thing, that if I could just know the one thing that they were talking about, that everything would be fine and I'd have it all figured out. And so I really did fall for everything. I fell for, you know, I bought a course called like 10K in 10 days, which was fine. I bought everything, right? I invested in how to make courses, and that I didn't know how to do. And that was in early 2020. I invested in a course teaching me how to make a course. But I'd actually tried to make a course before that. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about how I got there. But I just want you to know that if you're in a season of your business where you're seeing a lot of influencers, gurus, whatever you want to call them online, telling you that there's, hey, just this one thing, if you just do this one thing, that, you know, everything will be easier. It's not true. There is no one thing. And so I really doubted myself, even having, you know, the marketing experience that I had, really doubted myself when I started. And I do think that for whatever reason, people have figured out that confusing people or making them feel like they're missing something is the best way to make money on the internet. And that's just not true. But all of that said, I just want you to know that I was with you as I was navigating this stuff for the first time. And so when we think about creating courses, we think about creating anything digital, you know, everybody wants passive income. I'm going to just throw something on my website and I'm going to, you know, make a bunch of money and it's just going to sit there. I'm not going to have to do any work. When we think about that, like, that is not how it works, right? It is not easy to sell digital offers. Creating a digital offer, creating a course is a lot of work. Creating the audience that actually is ready to buy that course is even more work. That's even harder. And so today I want to give you three things that I know are really going to help you as you start to navigate creating online offers, if this is something that you feel called to do. Okay. And so the first thing, the first mistake that I see is actually making a course before you have the audience or before you know that it's something your audience actually wants. And I'm going to take you back to 2019. Let's go on a trip. 2019, I owned a gym. I was running a very successful postnatal fitness program in my gym. And you know, you probably know the story if you followed the podcast. I then started creating an online business for helping postnatal women. But what you didn't know is my business mentor at the time was working as part of a mentorship program with a group of mentors. And his advice to me was that I should create a course to teach other gym owners how to run this program in their gyms. I was making, I think, an extra like 30 grand a year running this program. And so it would be very attractive for a gym owner. Let's be honest, gym owners tend to not make a lot of money. Just is certainly at least in the gyms that were in that community, sort of averaging anywhere between like 8K to 50K a month. So not a ton because gyms have a lot of overhead. But my mentor said, okay, Laura, this is great. You've got this figured out. You know how to do all of this. You've got the programming, you know the marketing. Create a course for other gym owners to learn how to run this program. And so I was like, okay, great. I'm going to do that. And in my heart, I was like, he's going to help me get this course to the other members of this community, this gym owner community, micro gym owner community, and it's going to be great. And so I then spent probably 40 hours creating this course. I invested in Teachable. I recorded the videos. I spent hours and hours and hours in my gym recording movement trainings and writing programming and putting the marketing materials together so that these gym owners could have this turnkey look at how to create a postnatal fitness program at their gym. And it was beautiful. And then I sent it to my mentor and was like, I did it. I'm done. I'm ready. And I didn't sell any. There were a couple of reasons for that. One, you know, I was under the impression, and this is, you know, not to blame this person at all, but I was under the impression that he was going to help me to sell it. But what was actually happening is people were seeing me run it in this group and just started running it on their own. They did it without me because they didn't feel like they needed a course, obviously. But I wasted a lot of time creating something that I didn't have an audience for. And I didn't have anyone to sell it to, right? They didn't need that. The people that wanted to sell that program were going to figure it out on their own. And I hadn't built a network for myself. I hadn't built an audience for myself. I think this is the piece where people get, this mistake is twofold, right? It's the piece where you build a course without having an audience, because building a course with no one to sell it to is a very silly idea. It's a colossal waste of time. If I had taken those 40 hours that I spent, it was probably more like 60, if I'm being honest, now that I'm traveling back there myself. If I had spent those 60 hours building my own brand, building community, building an audience, connecting with other gym owners, I think that I would have saved myself a lot of trouble. I would have been able to start to build an audience and probably had some people to sell it to. But creating a course when you have no audience, no email list, no community, nothing, nobody to back it up, isn't really a good idea, if I'm going to be totally honest. So for me, there was that piece. And then the other piece is like, if you do have an audience, don't build a course unless you know that people actually want it. And this is the piece that I actually learned from Jessica DeRose as part of her Empower University course, which was the course that I took in 2019. And this blew my mind when she said it, but it was, you're going to sell your course first. Sell it first. Don't create it and then sell it. Sell it and then create it. Because if you don't have an audience for it, why would you waste your time 40 hours, 50 hours, 60 hours, 100 hours creating something that there isn't interest in? And so if you ever see me launching anything, which if you follow me on Instagram or you're on my email list, you definitely do, or you listen to this podcast episode, these podcasts, you know that every now and then there'll be an ad, an episode for something that I am selling. If it's something that's net new, chances are it doesn't exist. My most recent course that I've created on Breakable Marketing Foundations, I sold it back in 2023. I was like, what year are we in? Before I even made it, right? I wanted to know, hey, is this something that people actually want? 10 people joined. I knew that they wanted it. I gave myself 6 weeks and pulled this course together. Yes, is 6 weeks a short window of time to pull something together? Sure. But the reality is, depending on how you're dropping things, right, how you're going to deliver the material, you really just need to stay a week or two ahead in your creation of where people are in your course. And so, you know, I think what I did for Unbreakable Foundations is I dropped 2 modules every week for 6 weeks, got it done. And the people that were in the course that bought as part of the initial presale, they didn't know that it didn't exist. Well, they know now. And if you're listening to this now, you know now. But I will never actually have anything fully created when the time comes for me to, when I go to sell it. That's because I give myself a few weeks on the back end of that to make sure that it's actually of interest, right? I'm not going to spend the time. I've done that before. I've made that mistake. So spending the time to create something before you sell it is silly. It just is. And now once you create it, so Unbreakable Marketing Foundations is something that I now have. It's created and done, right? I had my pre-sale VIPs go through it back at the end of last year. Now this year, I have the ability to have it on as an always on, right? It's always part of my funnel. So anytime you're coming through any of my freebies, whether that's my Build Your List Bootcamp or my Online Business Toolkit, you are going to receive information about Unbreakable Marketing Foundations. It also allows me to then create offers around Unbreakable Marketing Foundations. So one of the things that I'm doing is a 6-week live container for people to come in to execute that material, right? To learn how to really create a simple system of lead generation that makes getting clients in your business the easiest part of owning a business, right? We're going to do that together. And so it allows me to have those inflection points around it. But I already knew before I built that course that there was audience for it, there was interest in it because people bought it before I even made it. And so for you, if you're like, oh God, that feels so stressful, right? It's important for you to know whether or not people, and specifically your audience, actually wants to buy the thing that you're about to make. If nobody is interested, you don't have audience for it, or it's not a topic that is that matters to them, you're going to have a very difficult time selling anything. So that would be mistake number one, right? Is creating something before you have an audience for it, or creating something before you know that your audience actually wants it, right? So it's sort of twofold. The next mistake that I see is actually starting low ticket. And a lot of the time we want to create a course, we want to create a program, and we want to sell something for like $47 or $27 or $97. While I think there is massive value in low ticket offers, you have to have a very large audience to really have a sustainable business model based on low ticket offers, right? Think about it. If you have a $47 offer, you need to sell 100 of those for it to be a decent amount of money for a launch, right? If you only sell 10, right? You sell 10 people into a $47 offer, you made $470. I'll be honest, selling your first offer for the first time and getting 10 people is amazing. We love that. 10's incredible. But $470 is not going to pay your bills. And so you would have to sell one, right? If your offer is $4,700, because what you're offering is maybe longer, it's a mastermind, it's higher touch, there's live time, and you sell one of those, right? That's a whole lot more money than the $47 offer you sold, right? So 10 people at $4,700 is a heck of a lot better than 10 people at $47, right? And I recognize there's a huge difference in like what you would be offering at those different price points, but I think the mistake that most of us have made, and I see this all the time, and certainly when people come into my coaching practice, they say, you know, I'm going to create a course and I think it's going to be $97. And this is the thing that I want to, you know, anchor my whole business on for the next year. And it's like, you need to sell a heck of a lot of $97 courses in order to make the money that you want to make to have your business, this actually be a sustainable revenue stream for you. It's one thing if you're using your course as sort of a loss leader. So the intention of it is to bring people into your world to sell up into a higher offer down the road, right? If that's part of your strategy is, hey, you want someone to come in, buy your $47 offer, get into your funnel. They've already, maybe you have a trigger upsell for them somewhere in your offer. So take them from a $47 client into $147 client. And then maybe down the road, you're selling them into a high ticket offer. I realize that I'm getting kind of high level here as far as where I'm going with this, but the intention for your low ticket offer matters. If you are, I have no problem with somebody early on in their business creating a low ticket offer that they're intending to stack on as part of a funnel or a ladder, an offer suite, so to speak, that they're creating to try to make more money, right? Where I struggle is when we think, okay, I'm going to create this course and it's going to be $47 and my whole business is going to be anchored on this. It just doesn't work unless you're Amy Porterfield or Jenna Kutcher or Brendon Burchard or somebody like that who has massive, massive audience. Sure. Yeah. They can sell a thing. I don't even think they sell a $47 thing. Most of their things are, you know, under $1,000, but the amount of volume that they're doing makes that sustainable. I'll be honest. I would love to have a business model where I could sell more lower ticket offers because twofold. One, because I want to be able to help as many people as possible. And in order to do that, it would be nice to be able to have low ticket offers. But two, I would love to have the audience that would be able to sustain that. I just don't. I don't. And, you know, even with 3,500 Instagram followers and, you know, thousands of people on my email list, it's still not big enough, right? So it just takes time. You really need to have critical mass as far as what your audience looks like, what your community looks like in order to justify a low ticket offer. And so if you're thinking about creating something for the first time, a digital offer of some kind, my suggestion would be to start with something higher ticket. It doesn't have to be a $4,700 offer. It could be a $1,000 offer, a $900 offer, right? If you sell 10 people into a $900 offer, that's still a really good day. Right? That's still fantastic. We celebrate that. That could be the difference. That could be life-changing money for somebody. Okay. And so thinking about, you know, what you could offer. For me, I love higher ticket offers, group offers that allow me to stack income, to be live, to pour in. But certainly, do I have low ticket offers on my heart? Yeah, I do. But starting there would have been a massive mistake. I would not have made the money that I've made in my business if all I did was sell $47 offers, okay? So I am in a season in my business where I am kind of tapped out on my ability to sell high ticket offers with all the live time that I have. And so really starting to now pull down, right, and create things that are lower ticket, like Unbreakable Foundations, like some of the live programs that I'm going to be doing this year that are really tactical to give you tools to really help you. But it's not a good place to start. It's not a good place to start if you have a small audience, unless you are really investing in, you know, checking all the boxes against all of the things that the gurus say you need to do to build the audience of that size, or that you're going viral over and over and over again, right? So that you can build an audience. It's not that it's not possible. It's totally possible. It's just, I wouldn't hang my hat on low ticket offers. A friend of mine, actually, she came on the podcast, Physical Kitchenist, Krisha, I think the episode maybe was last week or the week before, but she talks about the fact that, you know, she's got 100,000 followers on Instagram. She's built a multi six figure business selling low ticket offers, but that takes time. And in order for her to continue to sell, she needs more people, right? In order to make more money, she needs more people. And so the offer suite that I prefer to build that is aligned for me, I have a smaller audience, is creating an offer suite that allows people to buy higher ticket multiple times rather than low ticket once or twice. Okay. So really just thinking about where to start as far as price point, make sure that you're pricing your thing in a way that if you only sell 10, that it's still very much worth your time. Okay. Last one, the last mistake that I see is running paid ads too soon, right? We often think, oh, I'm just going to create this course. I'm going to run ads behind it. It's going to be fine. There is no point in throwing money at something if it doesn't convert organically. It's really important to make sure that your funnel, whatever you've created, the course, is converting organically before you start putting money behind it. And by converting organically, I mean like a good percentage of people, there's a good number of people, sorry, landing on that sales page, they're clicking through the email, a good percent of those people is actually converting. I'm in the process of creating a funnel right now that will have ads behind it eventually, but I'm not ready for them. My conversion rate isn't where I need it to be. The amount of people coming to the site and actually clicking and buying is too low for me to start running paid ads. And so what I need to do is I need to revisit it. I need to tweak it. I need to make some changes to the copy, whatever it is, the offer, how I position it, so that my conversion rate improves. And once my conversion rate improves, then I'll think about running paid ads behind it. The other piece is that, you know, paid ads doesn't guarantee sales. What it does is guarantee eyeballs. And there's a piece where your paid ads need to align with organic, right? And so I'm sure you've seen this. You get fed up an ad for somebody. They say they got this course. They've made a bajillion dollars, whatever it is that they're promising. You click on their profile and they have 300 followers, right? There's a piece there that feels a little bit off, almost unbelievable, right? And so you want to make sure that if you are going to be running ads to amplify your platform, that you have a piece of know, like, and trust. There's a piece to the platform that you've built that appears to be authentic, because people are really skeptical, right? And so there's two sides to this conversation around running paid ads. It's, is my funnel or whatever I'm creating actually converting organically, aka are people actually buying this thing when I talk about it regularly already? Because throwing paid ads at something isn't going to fix that. It's not going to change that issue. And then the other piece is, do I already have the footprint so that if I do, when I do run paid ads and someone goes clicking through to find where I am organically, it's not very confusing, right? Paid ads are not going to fix problems. They can be amazing and incredible tools. When we're thinking about creating digital offers, there's a time and a place for them. Okay. So to recap on mistakes I see when you're creating digital offers, if you're thinking about adding this to something to your revenue stream, maybe you want to do it for the first time, are making sure that you have an audience first, right? Show up, provide value for 6 months before you sell a single thing, a year, 4 years. Okay. But show up and provide value, really focusing on building that. That's the first thing. Second thing is making sure that the thing that you have, you actually have, your audience actually wants. Okay. So knowing your community, knowing your audience, understanding what they actually want is another really important piece. Next piece is starting low ticket, really thinking about where you want to price that, right? Again, $47. Yeah, that's great. But in the grand scheme of building a business, you're going to have to move a lot of $47 digital items to make that money. Okay. And then running paid ads too soon, right? You don't want to do that before you are really ready. So those are the truths about running a digital offer, creating a digital offer. If it's something that you are curious about, you want to learn more about, always feel free to send me a DM. I'm always happy to spend a little time chatting back and forth in the DMs about what you're looking to create and how I can support you on it. I hope this was helpful for you. Until next time, we'll see you on the next episode of This Mother Means Business. Thanks for listening. And if you love this episode and know of other ambitious entrepreneurial mothers who would love to be part of this community, it would mean the world to me if you shared our podcast with them. Take a screenshot of this episode, text it to them, or share it to your Instagram stories and tag me so I can thank you for tuning in. Until next time, I love you, I appreciate you, and I am cheering for you so big.